welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
So this morning, I just want to start by saying that maybe I'm anticipating that God has already spoken something to you, maybe in worship. Maybe in worship. Often the Lord speaks to me in worship. How many of you are like that? Don't forget that piece. Don't let my message cloud that piece. And don't forget it. Write it down. We do ourselves a favor when we listen to the Lord and we put it into practice. A few words from the Lord is worth like a thousand sermons. I've been a Christian now 40 years. I've been a believer 40 years, and I was calculating, I think I must have heard 2,500 sermons. And I'm not sure I can remember any of them. But when the Lord speaks to me, I remember. So this morning, just allow the Lord to speak to you. We've been in a series called Disciple, Be One, Make One. And when I was younger, the word disciple was very intimidating to me because I thought, well, I know I've accepted the Lord. I know I'm a Christian. I know I've turned away from some things. I know I've embraced Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I know that. But what does it mean to be a disciple? That was a little intimidating to me. So I had to study. What does it mean to be a disciple? Well, it simply just means to be a student. To be a student. Are you a student this morning of the Word? Are you a student of the voice of God? Are you a student of the ways of God? If you are, then you're a disciple. Are you perfect? No, you're not. But you're a disciple. You're intentionally pursuing and placing yourself in the posture of being a student of God. And that's what a disciple is. So we've been doing this thing where we raise our Bibles. How many have been here when we did that? So let's do that this morning. And I'm going to ask you to quote this Bible verse with me as we do that. For the Word of God is living and active and full of power. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates my soul and my spirit to the deepest part of my nature. It exposes and judges my very thoughts and the intentions of my heart. Amen. That's what the Scripture is. The Scripture is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness so that I may be thoroughly equipped to do every good work. God has a plan for your life. He wants you to be about doing a few things. We're saved even if our salvation is free, but God wants us to take our salvation and do something with it. And the Scripture is useful for teaching us those things and rebuking, oh, I don't like that word. And correcting, I don't like that one either. And training. But you know, the cost of discipleship, of being a disciple, and there is a cost, there's a cost. When you go buy something, there's a cost. When you choose to be discipled by the Lord, there's a cost. But the payout is way better than the cost. The payout is way better than the cost. Amen. So anyway, I don't like that word discipleship because it was intimidating to me. I thought, well, years ago when I was thinking about that, am I a disciple? I know I'm a Christian. Am I a disciple? Am I a student? Yes. I've placed myself in a posture to learn. Have you placed yourself in a posture to learn this morning? So I've called this message, Learning to Live Differently. In my mind, because every week we've talked about that little phrase, discipleship for me is for me to learn, to continue to learn, to intentionally learn, to live differently. Learn to live differently. I was raised a certain way, so we would have little sayings in our family that I grew up with, like, if somebody wants to give you something, take very little of it. I mean, that was drilled into me from a little boy. And work and hard work was the highest thing you could achieve. So work hard. Never quit your job. I mean, that's how. But you know what? That was just cultural things that I picked up along the way. And I have to relearn exactly what this says. When I'm learning to live differently, I don't want to learn to live the way our culture lives, because sometimes our culture lives backwards. Did you know that? Sometimes our culture is very selfish. Sometimes our culture is very self-centered. Sometimes the Word of God is very differently. If we're going to learn to be disciples, if we're going to learn to live differently, I like that. Learning to live, say that with me, learning to live differently. Learning to live differently. If you don't get anything else out of this message this morning, I want you to understand that discipleship is not this big, awesome, intimidating word. It's about you learning to live and become more and more like Christ each and every day. A disciple of Jesus is one who lives the Christian life in all its fullness, receiving all God has for them. A disciple each day lives new and fresh opportunities to walk with God. A disciple has lifelong purpose and direction, and life is abundant. So how do we begin to be disciples? How is it that we begin to be a disciple? Well, if I was to take this microphone, let's just take this microphone. I'll walk around and ask you questions. Okay? You ready? Who said no? If I was to ask you, what is it you know about God? Tell me something you know about God. I want to know that you know it. I want you to know that you would bet your life on it. You would bet your life on it, okay? If I come back there, I really just want you guys to listen. That's why I did that. I'm not really going to do this. What is it you know about God? Okay, those are the things that you can share with others. When you are discipling someone else, be one, make one. How do I make a disciple? That sounds so intimidating. I'm such an imperfect person. I don't know how to disciple someone. Just share with them what it is that you really do know about God. And don't be afraid to say, you know what? I don't know that. I know this. I know God is good. I know God has forgiven me. I know God has changed my life. I know I've read a few scriptures in here, and they have rearranged my life. I know that. So know what you know. That's where you begin. Where do we begin? Knowing what you know. What is it that you know? And then expand what you know. Did you know God is all-knowing? What does that mean? God is all-knowing. What does that mean? And how does that affect your life? Did you know that God is all-powerful, omniscient? He wouldn't be God if he wasn't. Do you know that God is all-powerful? And how does that translate into your everyday life? And do you meditate on that? And do you allow that to speak into your life? Did you know that God transcends time? That a day to the Lord is like 1,000 years. Did you know that God is present everywhere? I used to tell my teenagers that God was present everywhere, so if they were going somewhere where I couldn't chaperone them, I would remind them of God's omnipresence. In in hopes that that would transform the way they live. When you and I understand who God is, and we grow in our knowledge of God, what is it we know, and we expand what we know, and we meditate upon the Word of God, and we meditate upon the character of God, God is omnipresent. He's present everywhere. He sees all. Nothing goes unseen by God. And how does that transform our life? When we allow that to transform our life, we are placing ourselves in a posture of being a disciple because we want to learn. So what is it that you know? What is it experientially? What is it about the Word of God that you know about God to be true? Do you know Him to be a gracious, good, good Father? Do you know Him? God is a good, good Father. We just sang that. When I first heard that song, I'm going to tell you the truth. I was driving down the road, and I was worshiping with the radio. I had to pull over because I had not experienced that much goodness in my earthly father. In fact, just, you know, not hardly any at all. But your Father loves you, and He is good. Regardless of your earthly father, you've got to know that God is good. Once you get that, when I'm worshiping, you're a good, good Father. It transforms me in how I live out the rest of my week because I've expanded what I know about God just by meditating on it, just by, yes, God is good. Goodness is one of the fruits of the Spirit, the goodness of God. So what is it you know about God? Don't try to share something with me about God if you don't know it here. Okay? Expand what you know about God. Always be willing to learn. I'm sorry to say that a lot of older folks, of which I am one, I would like to say I'm quickly becoming one, but I think I'm already there. Turned 60. Sorry if you're 60. I didn't mean to call you old. We stop learning sometimes as we get older. I know that. I already know that. I'm the pastor. Don't try to teach me something. Proverbs 18:2 speaks to Bob once in a while and says, you know, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinions. If you have stopped learning, if you say, you know what, I already know that, I know everything, then you're a fool. And I don't mean to call you a fool, but right here the Word of God says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding. Here's another one, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Do not deceive yourselves. Anyone who thinks he's wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. The thoughts of the wise are futile. So if you're basing your life based on some cultural thing that you think is true and it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's foolishness. And it's going to lead you in the wrong direction, even though it might sound good. You get on Facebook and you see all these cutesy little sayings about how people really like, oh, this is, you know, that's not necessarily the Word of God, okay? You're not going to find on the Precious Moments calendar next year something that says, love your enemies and bless those who persecute you. You're not going to find that on the Precious Moments calendar. I'm sorry. I love Precious Moments. Well, sort of. But the Word of God says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. What? I'm not talking about not the guy who snubbed you at the store. I'm talking about people that are going after you. That's the Word of God. When you place yourself in that posture to say, okay, God, I don't understand this piece of Scripture, but I'm going to place myself in the posture of being a disciple. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, God, even though I don't understand it. You know, when Billy Graham was starting his ministry, I'm sure you all heard of Billy Graham. He just passed away. great man of God, all over the world, preached to thousands, millions. When he was first starting his ministry, he wasn't having much success. He was kind of a failure, actually, if you look at his early life and his ministry. And one year he was saying, well, he wrote this in one of his memoirs. He said, I have so many doubts about what the Word of God says. I don't understand this portion. I have doubts about this. And so what he did one day is he laid his Bible on the ground and he knelt there and he said, I receive this unreservedly, even the parts I don't understand. God, I'm not going to judge your word until you give me more light to understand it. And from then on, he began to preach the word of God and straight up, here's what it says. I'm sorry if you don't like it, but I didn't write it. God wrote it, and I trust God, and I put my faith in God, and you know what? This is what it says about your relationship, and this is what it says about parenting, and this is what it says about church, and this is what it says about this, and this is what it says about that. And you know what? Guess what? That's when his ministry just took off. And don't you love Billy Graham? He just straight up. When I read his memoirs, it said, when they invited me, he said, when somebody invites me to the White House, they know they're getting the gospel. That's who I am. And that's what the Word of God is. And he would go, and he would preach what he knew. And often his messages were so simple, and yet so powerful. Know what you know, expand what you know. Grow in your knowledge of God and in the knowledge of the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges my thoughts and the attitudes of my heart. Do you see a man who's unteachable, wise in his own eyes and full of self-conceit? There is more hope for a fool. Do you see a man that's wise in his own eyes? Do you? Are you wise in your own eyes? I don't want to say this to you personally, but there's more hope for a fool. Because the Word of God says that. What God is trying to get us to do is to become disciples. Always be on this lifelong learning pattern. When I first moved to this church, and we have these two young pastors who in my mind are very wise, but I tell you, I had to humble myself. I've been in the ministry for 40 years. And it's like, okay. And you know what? When you humble yourself to learn from somebody, what if you were to humble yourself to learn from your spouse who's a real knucklehead? Huh? God sometimes wants to teach you things through people that are less than desirable. I read this book once that was called A Divine Conspiracy. Now, the first service laughed when I said that, but that's insane. Sometimes God puts people in our lives that we don't like. What? Because he has a purpose and a plan. When you learn that, when you learn that God is sovereign, that's part of his sovereignty. God is over all. He's all-knowing and all-wise. The people that are in your life are not accidental. When you figure that out, you've just placed yourself in the posture of a disciple. You said, okay, God, I know they're wrong and I'm right, but I choose to learn something here. When my wife and I figured this piece out, we began to appreciate each other's differences. I know exactly what my wife is always thinking because it's opposite of what I'm thinking. I just know that. If I know, I think we should go somewhere, she's saying, I'm feeling like we should stay home. And you know, isn't that wonderful? That God places people in your lives strategically that you might learn something about him and his character. Do you know that Jesus laid down his life for you? Did you know that Jesus gave 100%? He wasn't waiting for you to give 50. That's part of placing yourself under the discipleship of Christ. I sometimes feel like Moses when he said that, I don't know what to say. And Moses and God said to him, well, you go up to Pharaoh and talk to Pharaoh. And Moses said, well, I don't know what to say. And God said, well, I'll give you the words. And that's kind of how I stepped up here this morning. It's like, okay, God will give me the words. Know what you know. What is it you know? What is it you know? What is it you know about God? What do you know for sure about God? Know what you know. Know what you know. That's what you're going to share. That's what you're going to... And expand what you know. Always be in a lifelong process of learning more and more about, not just about head knowledge about God, but character of God and the heart of God and the voice of God. When we have classes, we have connect groups, and we have square classes. And there's informational stuff in the square classes, but there's also relational things there. And a lot of times in square classes, we unpack personal things. It's just like, and we get to disciple the folks in our square classes. So it's not just academic or cranial, but it's very relational. And especially in our connect groups, we get to meet together. We get to share a meal together. You know, the disciples, they were always eating together. That you'll never see a time, hardly, when the disciples got together when they didn't eat. So in my mind, eating is spiritual. So connect groups are meant not just to get together and have a good time, but they're meant to disciple. There's a disciplement. There's a discipleship element to our connect groups as we encourage intentionally people to walk more and more day in and day out in the ways of the Lord. Know what you know. Expand what you know. Live what you know. I'm going to tell you a story about living what you know. I went to a conference once where Mother Teresa was speaking. I wanted to see Mother Teresa. She was one of my Catholic heroes. I grew up Catholic, and a lot of my heroes are Catholic. And that's just the way it is. I don't say whether that's right or wrong, but St. Patrick was my hero. He's an awesome missionary. If you ever study the life of St. Patrick, you know he wasn't just a leprechaun. He was a missionary of God, a man who sacrificed his life for people that were a little bit out there, the Druids and some of those strange folks up there, wherever they were. And, of course, I loved St. Francis, because he ministered to the poor, and I did love the life, and I loved studying the life of Mother Teresa. So I went to this conference in Denver. This was in the 80s, and here we were in this room, and Mother Teresa walks up there. She practically had a little crippled lady with a, and she would had to have help getting with her up on the stage, and she had her little garb, and she had broken English, of course, and she didn't say anything I hadn't heard already. But when she said, God is good, and that life is precious, you could have heard a pin drop in the room, because we knew where this woman had walked. We knew where she had lived. What she knew was maybe very simplistic to you and I. If I was to say to you, well, God is good, and you might have a little saying, well, good, all the time, or something like that, you know. But when she said, God is good, after ministering to people on the streets of Calcutta with tuberculosis and AIDS and diseased and dying and bugs and, you know, you've seen the pictures. She was teaching us out of what she knew and out of what she had lived. And that's what a disciple does. He teaches out of what he knows. And if you don't know something, don't try to teach me, because I am the first one to know you're faking it. Okay? And you're only faking yourself. Teach out of what you know. And you know, we can all disciple someone else. And if you're a parent, you're discipling your children. And you know, sometimes I had to tell my kids, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know some things about God. Some things about God to me are a real mystery. In fact, I loved Mother Teresa. They actually asked her this question. What's the first thing you're going to ask God when you see him? And she said, I don't know, but he's got a lot of explaining to do. You know, Mother Teresa didn't even know. She didn't know everything about God. But she lived out what she knew. Know what you know? What is it you know? Be willing to expand what you know. Grow into what you know. Be a lifelong learner. Live what you know. Live it out. And lastly, share what you know. Share. I want to tell you another story about let me read this verse first. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give a reason for the hope that is in you. Cameron was speaking about hope. We sang a song about hope this morning. Hope, Jesus is our hope. Are you prepared to give me an answer right now? Again, if I took the microphone around, give me an answer for the hope that lies within you. I'm not asking for a whole theological exposition. I just want to know something about your life, that you, one area of your life where you have hope. Are you ready, in season and out, to tell anybody that asks? If I walked up to you tomorrow in Walmart and said, tell me about the hope within you. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to give me some hope? Because you know, we live in a world of hopelessness. And this church is meant to give, one of our foundational values is hope for the broken. And we have to be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. Always be prepared. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Always, say always.
Always.
Say it again.
Always.
There you go. Now they're all woke up. Always be prepared. Always be prepared. If I go home from lunch today and I get on the news and it says a flood is coming. Let's say we get on the news and flood is coming. Remember a few years ago when we had a flood here? When we couldn't use your bathrooms? That's the part you remember. It was a big hardship on my parents, I'll tell you. How would you prepare if you knew that a flood was coming? Well, Cameron would run down to Walmart and buy out of all the bottled water. And when we'd get there, there wouldn't be any. How do you prepare for a move of God? You know, this leadership in this church, as we've prayed and we've sensed and we've tried to be listened to the Holy Spirit, we believe that God wants to just blow this place apart. Not with so that we'll be glorified, not so that we can say, oh, look at us, we got a big church, but so that the kingdom of God will be expanded. If we feel that God wants to do something awesome, a new work of God, then we should go home and get prepared. And what does that look like? First of all, we have to humble ourselves and become a disciple. Become a disciple. What does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say about this? And what does the Word of God say about that? And do I know that? Am I living that? And am I sharing that? And that's what being a disciple is. And that's what discipling others is. So I have this story about this guy who was in prison. And this guy had led him to the Lord. I used to do prison ministry in Brush. There was a teenager prison that we went to every week for a full year, and we would share and we'd play basketball. And I did some guitar lessons and stuff like that with prisoners, inmates. But this guy had led this prisoner to the Lord. And taught him the verse John 3:16. Do you know this verse? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Over and over. We should all know that one by heart. If you don't, John 3:16, look it up in your table of contents. John, the big three, little 16. That's funny, but when you're first new, it's like, when I first got saved, like everybody's flipping to their Bible, and it's like, well, somebody said, there's a table of contents, go there. And that's okay. That's how you learn. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed should not perish but have everlasting life. Simple. It's a paramount verse in the whole New Testament. So he led this guy to the Lord. He came back next week, and this guy had about five or six people sitting around him, and he was teaching them John 3:16. He took what he knew, and he was sharing it with these people. And he had actually led a couple of them to the Lord, saving knowledge of Jesus just through that one verse. So what I'm saying through that is take what you know and share it. And then he began to dive into that verse. Okay, what's it mean to believe? Well, if you look it up, you can look it up. And I love the Amplified Bible because sometimes it gives you tons of words in there. It means to rely upon, adhere yourself to it, to trust in, to connect to Jesus. That's what it means to believe. So, take what you know, expand what you know, live what you know, and then share what you know. That's what it means to be a disciple and to disciple others. I titled my message, I don't know if I told you this already, I've had two services. I never remember what I said and what I forgot to say. Learning to live differently. I love that. I love that. That's what discipleship is for me, is learning how to live differently. What do I do with this information? And then as you and I have relationship, unfortunately, our culture is just so splintered, and we'd have our communities are so splintered. I have my little routine. I go to work. I go home. In other cultures, it's not that way. They live and walk together. Day in and day out, and that's part of how we learn. And so part of our community is getting together, not forsaking the assembling of the brothers. Don't just stay home on Sunday and watch football, okay? Football's fine, but God calls you and I to be together and to have relationship. And I know that's very intimidating for some of you. If you're an introvert, getting together in the body of Christ is intimidating, but that's one way that God disciples you. That's one way. When you go to a connect group and just after you get comfortable, then sometimes you get to a point where sometimes you unpack some of that stuff that you're not usually comfortable unpacking. And somebody can say to you, I've been through that, and this is a verse that really helped me. And I hung on to this verse right through the middle of all that. You've placed yourself in the posture of being a disciple. You're getting ready for the good things that God wants to do. So, know what you know, expand what you know, live what you know, share what you know. Best way to do discipleship. It's not so intimidating. Every one of you knows something about God. Every one of you knows something about God that's precious to you. That's what you have to share. And now when you begin to expand that, and you're intentional about it, and you're relational about it, then you have more to share. And discipleship grows, and the kingdom of God grows. When you and I place ourselves in a posture of learning, the kingdom of God automatically just expands. When you and I get ready for what God wants to do in this place, then we're just paving the way for God to move. I just love the idea that we've really got intentional this year about our youth program. Ben and Beth and a few others went off to camp, and they were all fired up about it, and we took quite a few people to youth, and we kind of wrestled with some things. We prepared for it. And then all of a sudden, guess what? Our youth group is starting to grow. And God is starting to move there. And if you go down there, the Spirit of God is moving amongst our youth right now. But you know what? God isn't going to send us people and expand the kingdom of God if you and I haven't personally taken the challenge of preparing ourselves. If we've made room, if we've readjusted, if we've paid the cost of discipleship, there's a cost, but the benefits of discipleship are much greater than the cost. So I'm going to have the worship team come up at this point. Let me say this one thing, and I think I said it, but I want to say it even stronger. If you're going to disciple someone, you're going to need to know the Word of God. Don't try to disciple somebody in the ways of God if you don't know the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active. Take what you know about the Word of God. Study it. Chat with people about it. Grow in your relationship and your knowledge of the Word of God. You can't go wrong with that piece. There have been many times in my life I got to a fork in the road. Is it going to be my way? And the ways I was raised? Or is it going to be the Lord's ways? And if there's the Lord's ways, there's going to be a price. There's always a price. Sometimes I would wrestle through those forks in the road. I don't want to do that. I've always done it the other way. I've run relationships 50-50. Are you running your relationships 50-50? See, that's not God's ways. There's times, guess what, when your spouse or the person you're in relationship with is flipping out, and you're going to have to give more than 50. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. And see, God gave it all, and that's His way. That's part of His way. And get off your selfish ambition and your self-centered lifestyle. That's not the way of God. Give it all. You want a good marriage? You have to give 100% sometimes. And then when you flip out, guess what? And that happens, doesn't it? And you have to forgive people that don't deserve it. Because you understand the forgiveness of God towards you. You've placed yourself in a place where it's like, I get it. I've been forgiven of stuff I didn't deserve forgiveness. And so now, because my heart's been transformed, I can pass that on to the next person. And with parenting and with health, sometimes in health, I had a health issue this week, and I was like, I was beside myself. I hate going to the doctor. But I had to come to grips with my mortality. I'm not going to live forever in this life. I had to settle that. And I had to still come up at the end of that day and say, God is good. And at the end of every day, raise my hands and just say, God, you're so good. So we settle things and we place ourselves in a posture of being a disciple. This life is short. God is good and life is precious. Amen. So if you'll stand with me, I'll pray. God, we want to learn more about you each and every day. We never want to never stop learning. We never want to be fools. We think we know it all. We want to always have our ears open when you're speaking. And we want to be about your business. We want to be like the wise man who took your word and put it into practice. Not like the fool who built his whole life on the sand. God, we want to be those people that are strong and not swayed to and fro We want to hear your word, and we want to obey it. We want to place ourselves in a posture of learning as a student, God. We want to do that. We want to pave the way, Father, for you just to bring in a new work in this community and in this church, just to expand the kingdom of God. And just open our eyes, Father, to the people that you want us to bring along and to share our lives with. And give us courage to be relational. And give us wisdom to be intentional. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.
Let's put our hands together this morning. Let's worship him some more.